first reading today, we hear from the preaching of the Apostle Peter, and he uses an interesting phrase. And it's the only time in the entire Bible that this phrase appears. He calls Jesus the author of life. I think that's an interesting phrase to reflect upon. You know, well, first, what is an author? An author is someone who writes books, whether they're real stories or fictional. But the author, you know, they come up with a storyline, they weave it together, put in the characters, the character development, and they come up with a story. You know, Jesus is not just the author of books, but he's the author of life, which means he's the one who, in his mind, came up with the idea of creating us. He designed us in his mind, in every detail of our bodies, you know, from the number of hairs on our head to the color of our eyes to a hair color, every detail of our bodies and our personalities, you know, whether someone's funny or serious, whether they're athletic or musical or whatever gifts they have. You know, he's designed every detail of our bodies. And he's not only created us and brought us into existence, but also everyone around us. You know, every member of our family, every one of our friends. And he's the author of human history. You know, the sequence of events, you know, creation and the goal of, you know, of human history and everything in the middle. You know, he's the author of all of that because he designed it in his own mind. He willed it to come into existence and brought it into being. It's pretty incredible when we take a step back and think about that and just the creativity in the mind of God and, you know, how incredibly powerful he is to be able to do that and just, you know, the power of his intellect to be able to foresee all of those things and to bring those into existence. In our gospel today, you know, the apostles have an encounter with the author of life. You know, they're in a locked room. This is after the crucifixion of our Lord. You know, they had heard that he had died and was placed in the tomb. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. You know, they thought everything was final. And even though the women had come back from the tomb and they had said, you know, there's an empty tomb and there's an angel. We've had visions and they've said that Christ is alive. You know, the apostles, they just dismissed that. They're like, oh, the women are delusional. Well, listen to them. And they didn't believe a word that they said. And in the gospel, we hear that Christ appears right in their midst. He comes right through the walls. He doesn't even come through the door. He just appears right in the middle of them and says, peace be with you. And even at that point, they still didn't believe in the resurrection. They thought that it was a ghost. They're like, oh, he's come back to haunt us now or something. You know, but they, even at that point, they didn't believe in the resurrection, which is why Christ said to them, you know, touch the wounds, and he ate the fish in front of them so that they could see that he was real flesh and blood. You know, he had to get through their disbelief and their shock in order to convince them that he was truly risen. Our Lord is going to do a similar thing in a few minutes. Just like he appeared in the midst of that room for the apostles, you know, he's going to come into this church. He's not going to use the door. He's going to descend right down upon the altar. You know, at the words of the priest, this is my body and this is the chalice of my blood. The risen Lord is going to appear in the midst of us. You know, we're still going to see the appearance of bread and wine, the outward appearance. But the reality of the risen Lord being present in our midst, our Lord is going to be present for us in just as real of a fashion as he was with the apostles in the upper room. And so the first question is, do we believe in that? You know, just like the apostles, you know, they did not believe that Christ was risen from the dead. They didn't believe it when they heard the message from the women who returned from the tomb. They didn't believe it when they saw Christ right in front of them until they had touched him and saw him eat. The question is, do we believe in the reality that as Christ says, the bread and wine becomes his true flesh and blood? And it's not just a piece of his body. And it's not just dead flesh. It's the living Lord. You know, we can imagine Christ sitting upon his throne because he's fully present and he's alive in our midst. So the first question is, do we believe that? You know, the apostles had trouble making that act of faith, but can we make that act of faith in the reality of Christ's presence? So that's the first question. And the second thing I'd like to throw out for us to reflect on is, what would we say to our Lord? You know, if we have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's present in our midst, what do we say to the author of life? Yeah, I think it's first thing that comes to my mind is thank you. You know, to thank our Lord, because without him, I would never have existed. You would never have existed. Nothing in our lives that we've experienced or lived through, none of that would have ever happened. Every single experience that we've had in our entire life, we have to thank our Lord for that. So I think it's appropriate first to say thank you. You know, maybe there's some sins we need to repent of and say we're sorry for these. You know, the apostles had abandoned our Lord in his time of need. They fled when Christ was being crucified, with the exception of the apostle John, who was at the foot of the cross. Or perhaps it's a time for us just to reflect on the awesome grandeur of a God who's so amazing that he brought this entire world into existence. And to reflect on the attributes of God, his all-powerful, you know, the fact that he is all-knowing, and the incredible creativity that exists in the mind of God, and the generosity that he would create us in this creation for our sake. Or perhaps above all, to thank the Lord for the love that he shows us in desiring to be with his people, that he would descend from the glory of heaven to be with us simply because he wants to be with us. You know, sometimes people complain that the Mass is boring because they think it's too repetitive. And I think the problem is that very often people just see the external rituals, which don't change from week to week. You know, it's pretty much the same. We kneel at the same time, we stand at the same time, we say the same prayers, and they just focus on the external ritual, and they don't get beyond that, and they don't recognize who's truly in our midst. They don't recognize that at Mass, we actually have an encounter with the author of life who's in our very midst. You know, how incredible is that, that we have that opportunity? And so I think our challenge today is, first of all, to make the act of faith and to recognize who it is that's in our midst, and to see beyond the external ritual and to have an encounter with the author of life. And not just to believe that he's present, but actually to enter into a dialogue with him, to tell him thank you, to thank him for his love for us, or to reciprocate that love, or to enter into a dialogue and to speak with him whatever our souls desire to say to him. You know, if we enter into that dialogue and if we encounter the risen Lord, the Mass is never going to be repetitive or boring, but it's always going to be fresh and new because it's an encounter with the author of life himself. And so, just like the apostles recognized our Lord in the breaking of the bread, it takes an act of faith on our part to recognize our Lord's presence in the Eucharist, and secondly, to enter into a dialogue with the author of life, the risen Lord, who's in our midst.